Let's turn now to more in this story about Muckamore Abbey Hospital. We have been talking to the mother of a son who spent time in Muckamore and her concerns about the seclusion room at that facility. Now, I want to let you know what happened yesterday. Representatives of Muckamore Abbey Hospital came down to me to do an interview in the BBC studio. And you will hear that interview later in the programme today. What one of the representatives did was they showed me photographs of the seclusion room, but they are refusing to allow you to see those photographs. And I immediately challenged them on that and said, sorry, I'm not important, but the public is. So why are you hiding these photographs from the public of the seclusion room? And we didn't get very far with that. And you'll hear some of the interview about the seclusion room later in the programme. We have questions around which pictures they actually showed us, because they showed me pictures of this seclusion room, which vulnerable adults were put into. We know that they're supposed to have been put in there for short periods of time. We know that one man couldn't get the information out of the Belfast Trust. They wouldn't volunteer the information as to how many times his son had been put into the room, and he told us that he had to force it out of them through freedom of information requests. So you'll hear all about that very, very shortly in the programme. I want to focus, please, on the seclusion room, what it looked like. And I'm confused this morning as to, first of all, why the Belfast Trust is withholding and trying to stop you, the public, seeing what the seclusion room looked like. And secondly, I'm confused as to the photographs that they showed me yesterday. They showed me a photograph of a bright room, really bright room. And therefore, I was totally confused as to how some family members had been describing it as, quote, a dark dungeon. And that's why I wanted to speak to the mother of a young man who had been put into that seclusion room 50-odd times. Here's what she said to me.
Round about, right, my son went in May, and the first...
May what year?
May 2017.
Okay.
And we had the first meeting, and I was told then that he was in this room up to 2 hours. I was aware they had a room like that, but I wasn't aware that he was going to be held for up to 2 hours in it. So I said, but can I see this room?
He was actually held for up to 2 hours, 50 minutes, and your husband got that through FOI.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So anyway, I went to see it. The charge nurse took me down to see it. Mm-hmm. I was taken down. It was just so dark and dismal. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And when they
Describe
opened the door
it to me.
To it, right, well, you went down this dark... Everything was dark. And you went down this dark corridor, pitch black nearly, and you went into the room. It was a room, I would say, about 12 by 8, from what I could see. And there was a mat on the floor, like, and there seemed to be, like, plastic up the sides of the wall. And one chair.
Mm-hmm.
And blacked out when everything was dark. And I looked up at the ceiling to see if there was anything even for you to look at, like wee moon and stars, I think sensory or anything. And I said, he was in here for 2 hours. Where's the toilet? Well, there isn't one. Where, if he needed a drink of water, well, there isn't one. And the charge nurse, I said, well, you know, you're bound to have accidents here or even somebody sick. He says, yeah, what happens? And he said to me, well, I'm not happy with it either. And he says, I can see from your reaction that you are not happy with it. And I said, no. I says, I think we'll have to make a complaint here and get things done. Work started. Now, I'm not saying I did it. I'm saying I probably was in the pipeline. But work started fortnight to 3 weeks after that. Because I know the patients are very distressed with the cat noise of the tango and stuff like that was going on. I saw it last night. It's completely transformed.
Now, what's different about it now?
It looks more like a therapy room is what I would describe it. I'm delighted. absolutely.
And what have they changed?
They've not the entrance to it, once you come in, it's all open and bright. And there's light and everything getting into it, where this was a dark, dark, what I would have, I just said it was like a dungeon.
They showed me pictures.
Okay.
They showed me pictures yesterday of this seclusion room.
Yes.
And what I'm very curious about is that they're prepared to show me pictures of that room.
Yeah.
But they are refusing to allow the public to see the room.
Yeah.
And I put it to them, I'm no better than any member of the public. Why are you showing it to me? If you're showing it to me, show it to everybody.
Well, they're going to show...
And they will not do it.
Well, if they do show it, they will be showing a much more improved seclusion room. They definitely have improved it massively. But there's still, I said, there's still things need to be addressed here. I looked up at the ceiling. There's still nothing for anybody to look at. And they said to me, oh, but, you know, with therapy, and I said, yeah, well, if you're in here a number of, you know, times, you need to look at something.
So here's what I saw when they showed me this picture. I couldn't understand it because, you know, your husband had told me that you'd described it as a dark dungeon.
Yeah.
The photograph they showed me, it was a bright room.
Yeah.
Now, there was nothing, there was very little in it, but they said that's purposeful. That's part of what they should be doing to calm someone down. There was a blue mattress. There was one seat covered in plastic, presumably for safety, and that was it. But this was a really bright room.
Yep.
And I couldn't understand how you'd described it as a dark dungeon.
It's because walls and things like that have been taken away. It's been totally redesigned, the whole area.
Why didn't they tell me that?
I don't know. But the first one I saw...
Open and transparent? So they've brought me in photographs of what has been a renovated room.
Exactly.
And they haven't told me what it was actually like.
Yeah.
Or shown me photographs of what it was like when people like you were complaining about it.
Yeah.
And I sat with them and I said to them, but families have described this as a dark dungeon and what you've shown me isn't.
I was absolutely appalled when I saw it. When I did see it, up to this point, you know, I wasn't particularly worried about my son being in there. I came out to the car and I said to my husband, things are not what they seem in that hospital. I'm absolutely horrified at what I have seen my young son in that room, I said, because he's a mind of a two-year-old. What would he be thinking? You wouldn't dream of putting a two-year-old into something like that. So anyway, they have upgraded it, and I'm delighted that they have what they showed me last night.
Can I just clarify this, because it's really, really important. You know, this is a health trust. This is a trust, and indeed, you know, the at the end of the day, the National Health Service in Northern Ireland, who, you know, we've got to presume play a straight bat. Like, we've got to presume that.
Yeah.
Or else, where do we go? What do we do? Can I just clarify with you that it couldn't have been a case that you simply saw that room that your son was put into over a year ago and the light wasn't turned on, and that's why you thought it was dark?
I don't know, but it seemed to be the windows had, like, black, I don't know, it was plastic bag, or I don't know what was over it, but the windows were dark. They were all, like, blacked out, maybe painted or something like that. Look, I was that shocked when they went in. I wasn't really taken in all, but the windows were definitely darkened by something. I don't know, it was paint or something was over the windows. It was all dark. Everything about it was dark. I just described it as a dungeon and horrified that my son was in it for, what, 2 hours, you're saying, 90 minutes?
2 hours, 50 minutes he was in it.
2 hours, 50 minutes. Aye, that's what my husband was had to...
And your husband told me that they wouldn't give him the information freely.
Yeah, they wouldn't, no.
Is that true?
Nothing's been straightforward, Stephen. Absolutely nothing. This has been an uphill battle by the two of us to get to the bottom of this, yeah. It's been very, very hard in the families.
And how did you get the information in the end? I know the answer to this.
Yes, freedom, yeah.
Freedom of information.
Yes, we had to use that.
So this is a health trust forcing you to use a Freedom of Information request to get information about your son.
Yes, unfortunately that's the case.
You see, that leads me to these following questions.
Okay.
Why didn't they give it to you freely?
Yep. Why?
Next question, the photographs of the seclusion room. Like, do they really think they're going to walk in here and show me photographs of a room and I'm not going to ask them to show them to the people that actually matter? I don't matter in this.
Yeah.
The people that actually matter are the general public. And every family.
Yes, well, they'll be seeing refurbished rooms, which have come on much better, but they won't be seeing the one that I have originally seen.
So why won't they show those photographs?
Well, I think it'd be maybe too much for the public to stomach. Do you not think so?
How stressful has this been on you as a mother?
Very stressful.
When you realise the conditions they your son was in.
Absolutely. I'm crying from inside out. That's just how I feel. Can't wait to get him out of there, but we're waiting for a placement and it takes time. Yeah. It's been very hard. The whole family's affected. His grandparents, they're very annoyed, you know.
Richard Pengelly, the permanent secretary, he has come out last night and apologised. Do you think that's enough? I guess the
What else can he do, you know, but say on behalf, yes, we apologise. It's not enough. Honestly, in this day and age, they had everything going for them. They had staff trained. They had policies in place, but obviously nobody enforced them. They had all these things going for them, and yet this happened in 2017. It's absolutely unbelievable.
You know, there's a very valid question, and I was asking the same question about Dunmurry Manor Care Home at the time of the authorities when we learnt about elderly people being neglected and abused in care homes.
Yeah.
And the question I kept on asking the senior people within our health service, where are the checks and balances from the very senior people at the top of the health service?
Sorry to interrupt you. That's the valid point that I made last night. I said to them, I mean, I've been caring for this boy for 22 years, that care is 24/7. One of them actually made a throwaway comment that, a lot of this abuse happened between the hours of 9 or 5 and at weekends. And I said, but yes, care is 24/7. You know, that's something you need to look at, that somebody needs to be there at the times, you know, from 5 o'clock and weekend. Absolutely awful for parents to think, you know, about what was going through his head and stuff like that.
Do you think the photographs of what the seclusion room was like before it was done up, do you think we should be allowed to see it?
It'd be very interesting to see it, wouldn't it? I'd quite like to see it.
Well, you saw it.
I did see it, yeah. But I would like everybody else to see what I saw. Absolutely third world is what I described it. People go out to Africa and Romania and do great work with disabled children, and yet the same thing was happening up the road in the very country that they live in, left with no stimulation and very little to do.
Well, some of the senior people will say that the very little to do in that room is part of the therapy to calm someone down.
Yes, but do you leave somebody in a 12x8 room with nothing? Nothing to look at, bare walls, darkened room, and one chair for 2 hours, 30 minutes or whatever my wee boy was in. Nothing to do. I can't believe it.
Your son can't speak for himself.
No, he can't. No.
And that's part of this story, that they did this to people who can't speak for themselves.
Yeah.
Listen, thank you very much indeed. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. Thanks for your time.
Well, we are going to bring an interview to you at 10 o'clock this morning from a senior official within Muckamore Abbey Hospital, someone who had senior responsibility for the use of that seclusion room. So it's a very interesting interview, and it's coming to you at 10 o'clock this morning. Now, Catherine. Morning, Catherine.
How are you, Stephen?
Okay, thank you. Your daughter was in that seclusion room in 2005. What I'm trying to get to now is that the Belfast Trust have decided to show me photographs, which they won't release publicly, of the seclusion room. And those photographs show the seclusion room updated, all right? Within the last year is what they've told me. So we have sent them a list of questions this morning, asking them for the timeline so that we can understand what they've shown me. Because I wouldn't want them to be showing me a room which has been updated and me not having the full picture and not understanding why so many of you have been complaining and describing that room as a dungeon, because the room they showed me was bright.
Yes, well,
What did you see, Catherine?
Well, I reiterate what that previous lady has said. I seen it. It was like a dungeon. I can't understand why consultants, management, safeguarding officers, social services, or anyone that had ever seen that seclusion room would deem it as fit for purpose.
Why? Describe it.
Because it was small, it was narrow. When I seen it, there was an old brown leather chair in it. That old brown leather chair took up the majority of the space in it. It was frightening. It was very isolated.
Now, important to say you're going back to 2005, 13 years.
No, 2016.
2016. Yeah. Let me walk you through this.
Yeah.
What we do know, and maybe Ross, I'm just talking to the editor here, could you bring me in the questions that we have now asked the Trust today? Because this is really important. Because what the Trust is doing is the Belfast Trust is very much trying to say to the public that they're going to be open and transparent with this whole episode involving Muckamore. So what I'm saying on behalf of lots of the families who have contacted me, I'm saying show us the room. Show the public the room. They won't show the public the room that they were putting vulnerable adults into. And then, you know, I get very, very curious when, you know, civil servants or health trust officials, I get very curious when they come in and they show me photographs. They wouldn't even let me have them. They showed it to me pre-interview, these photographs, but they wouldn't let me keep them while I was doing the interview. And I get very, very curious when they're prepared to let me see something but not let the general public see something. Well, that raises big questions in my mind. And now when I learn that actually what they've shown me is a photograph of the room when it was updated.
Yes.
That prompted me to say to them, you're going to hear the interview after 10 this morning, but that prompted me to say to them, do you know what? How come these families are calling this a dark dungeon? It's not dark. What you're all telling me is that there was a room before it was done up, and that's what you saw, and that's what was dark.
And it was in existence for many, many years. And my daughter and other patients suffered greatly. How could that help a vulnerable person to be locked up in such a small, enclosed, frightened environment? No simulation, no way of talking or to anyone on the outside or to be reassured.
Well, I think we need to go to the top now, because Richard Pengelly has been issuing, he's the permanent secretary, he's the man at the very top of the Department of Health. He has been issuing he issued a public apology last night,
which was well,
and he met the families face to face. So, Mr. Pengelly, could you please provide the public? Are you prepared to please provide the public with photographs of the room that our health service put some of these vulnerable adults into before the room was done up. In other words, 2016. Catherine, describe what you saw.
When I went in to see it, I expected to see what you are explaining now, a bright, open environment, a therapeutic environment. However, that is not what I seen. There was a dark corridor, completely pitch black. At the end of that corridor, there was a big, heavy wooden door with a small window in it. Inside the room, I was shocked. It was so small. It was like a mustardy colour. There was an old leather chair. It was dismal. It was cold. It was horrible. It really, genuinely, it was absolutely horrible. And in me, I sat on that chair and I thought of my daughter being in there for 90 minutes and her frightened and scared that she must have been. And I thought of other people.
Was there a mattress in the room?
There was no mattress in the room.
The picture they showed me had a mattress in the room.
I can assure you, I don't tell lies. There was no mattress in the room. It was absolutely horrible. It was not therapeutic. It could only conjure up fear and punishment. And my daughter...
Are you still there, Catherine?
Sorry.
It's okay.
My daughter, I know my daughter.
Sorry to interrupt, by the way, and obviously the news we're about to bring is minimal. It's a big story, but it's minimal compared to what you're talking about. But Jose Mourinho has left Manchester United with immediate effect. He's gone from Manchester United, and we will be covering that story later in the programme this morning. Let's come back to more important matters. Catherine, if I look at what we have asked the Trust this morning, the Belfast Trust this morning, because this is about openness and transparency. This is about...
You've nothing to hide, you've nothing to fear.
So what we have asked the Trust this morning, now, to be fair to them, full transparency from us, we've gone to them now at 9:36 this morning, so let's give them time to respond to this. Mm-hmm. They can have as much time as they want, but hopefully they'll respond, maybe tomorrow, maybe the next day. We've asked them, please set out the timeline of changes to the seclusion room. We've said to them, regarding the photographs shown to Stephen yesterday, that's me, were they before the room had any changes made to it? If so, please specify what changes have been made, because the photographs they've shown us is of a bright room with a blue mattress and a chair.
Well, Stephen, I currently have a complaint with the RQIA, and when I first went, in 2016, I spoke to the RQIA. I said, have you seen that seclusion room? Somebody needs to do something about it. My daughter was terrified. They didn't put it in the report. Now, since I have took out a complaint, because I believe they were part of the system that failed.
Well, now,
the
RQIA has had some criticism, but again, they're not on the programme. They haven't had criticism about this, and they're not on the programme to defend themselves. Let me speak to the Alliance MLA, Paula Bradshaw. Morning to you, Paula.
Good morning, Stephen.
So here we have a situation where we're trying to prise out now of the Belfast Trust so that the public can see what this seclusion room looked like when the families were describing it as a dark dungeon, and we can't get it.
Well, I suppose
to the public,
I'm very, very frustrated. When we received our briefing from the Belfast Health and Social Care Trust recently, just before the review report was finalised, they basically said the room's gone. Forget about it. We will be looking at alternative ways of managing behavioural difficulties with the patients. So I agree with you. There is a complete lack of transparency around who took the decision to do this, and what are they trying to, what was so wrong with the other room that they all of a sudden are under a cover of darkness changed the room. I would echo very much what your two callers have said already. I'm dealing with some other families as well. You know, this is these patients' homes. You know, the austerity in these rooms, the lack of comfort and stimulation, and the sense that they are somewhere safe has completely gone.
Now, you're about to hear after 10 one of the professionals, and they are the professionals and we're not,
yes,
describe how it's actually important not to have too much in a room when you're trying to calm someone down with those complex needs and also for their safety.
Yes, well,
why won't they show the photographs to the public? That's the question.
I totally share your frustration, Stephen, because this is the sort of thing, if we had our health committee, scrutiny committee, we would have those top dogs, the head of the health trust, the head of the Department of Health, in and answering those questions. At the minute, there is just this cloak of secrecy around it. I'm supporting one family. They're trying to get their adult safeguarding report released because they just don't know the extent of the abuse or alleged abuse on their son. The problem, whenever I raised this with the Health Trust, they said, look, there's a big police investigation ongoing. We don't want that information in the public domain because we don't want to jeopardise that. I think that that does a disservice to these families, these parents who are in agony now, not knowing the extent to which their child, who we've heard this morning, they're non-verbal, incredibly incapacitated in terms of communication.
Paula, I had a family member, a father, sitting in front of me yesterday in tears, telling me that when he tried to get information out of the Belfast Trust about how often his son had been put into the seclusion room, they wouldn't tell him. And they forced him to put in a freedom of information request as the only chance he could get about getting information about his son.
The distress is palpable. And the problem with it is a lot of the families now are looking down in terms of engaging legal representation. They have enough to be worrying about right now than having to start lawyering up so that they could start taking their own prosecutions or criminal cases against these nurses and against the trust and stuff. What we need to do now is put these patients right back in the centre of this and ensure that their well-being is of paramount importance. Yes, Richard Pengelly's apology last night was very much to be welcomed, and some of the recommendations in terms of change, were ambitious.
Well, he's the man in charge. Is he prepared to release photographs of what that room looked like when the families were complaining about it?